Hey, Calvary family, this is Pastor Michael Grove here on the Bible Reading app. And we are here on April the 24th in the Bible Reading Plan, reading one chapter at a time. And we are in the book of 1 Peter, so follow along if you can. Otherwise, let me read this over you, and in the end, I'll give you a few thoughts before we end our time together. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness of the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This concludes the reading of 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me give you a few thoughts before we end our time together. So let's start in this first part about wives and submitting to their husbands. In order to start this conversation, though, we must start by talking about what 1 Peter is all about. Remember, he is writing to the Gentile Christians who have now been isolated by all the other Gentiles. And so they are living in a different way that everybody else was living. They basically were despised and kind of abandoned. So the believing Gentiles were definitely treated differently than everyone else. So when he says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviors of their wives. Remember what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that even in some of their own marital relationships, they were being treated differently because of their belief. So he's telling the women who have unbelieving husbands, make sure you live such a way that they're drawn to you, that instead of making fun of you or alienating you, they actually want to follow you. This is why he says, don't let your beauty be something that's outward. He's saying, live such a good life that that's what draws them in. Listen, the quickest way we can win people over to the Lord is by the way we live our lives and treat other people. It's not our words, it's not our habits, it's not the things that we preach. It's the way we live and how we treat others. It's why he reminds them, this new life you're living is just like the way it was set up from the beginning. So he tells them, this is also how Sarah lived her life. She obeyed Adam and called him her Lord. Not because women need to go around calling their husbands Lord, but because she was submissive in order to show him what that true love looks like. Sarah was helping Abraham understand God. Then he goes on in the same way. For the husbands who are trying to lead their wives, make sure that you too are living such good lives towards them that they want to follow you. He says in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Now, yes, he says, as the weaker partner, many people take this to be because women are weak and so they should be submissive to men. But actually, this phrase comes from the Greek phrase asthenes, which is the same word in the Greek that's used to explain the sufferings of the Messiah. It's a submissive word to the work that God is trying to do. And what is it that Peter is saying? Treat them with respect as the weaker partner, or if you don't mind, let me substitute the definition here. So treat them with respect as the submissive partner into what? As heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. So I believe Peter is taking them back to this beautiful picture that's in the book of Genesis. He's saying to treat the women as the one to being submissive towards the will of God, that the two can be together working towards being heirs of this gracious gift of life. He's not calling them weak. He's saying that they have come alongside of them to partner with them. Because of that, set the example and be considerate in the way that you live with them. And when you do this, nothing will hinder your prayers. He's calling the men to be in right relationship with the women. Husbands, treat your wives in such a way that it shows they are part of the work God is doing in you. In other words, the wives aren't submitting to the husbands, they're submitting to the work of God. And so the husbands were carrying the visible work of God that the women were submitting to and becoming partners in. The two were genuinely becoming one as they worked together. And Peter's saying, men, if you could do this right, your prayers will be answered. They won't be hindered. But he emphasizes all of this in verse 8. He says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. You see, the blessing comes when we treat people so far above ourselves, when we honor them beyond what we could ever hope or imagine on our own. God answers your prayers, he sees you, and he blesses you. Guys, this is the New Testament story. This is what was preached everywhere. There's a reason that the New Testament church was thriving and making a difference. They all dedicated themselves to live so far above reproach that everyone around them always knew they were loved. I don't know about you, but I have people in my life that I'm sure they know when I'm frustrated with them. I don't know what it is, but there's just some times when I'm so annoyed and so frustrated that it's not only written all over my face, it's in the words that I say, in the way that I act. There's certain people that I know without a doubt have seen me frustrated at them and have walked away feeling like I don't like them or love them. That kills me. Everything that Peter, Paul, and all the writers of the New Testament are trying to get us to understand is that we are supposed to live such different lives among everybody else that they're drawn to us. I know that's not easy when there's people that disagree with our way of living. I know it's not easy when there's people that look at us and think we're the crazy ones. Just a couple minutes ago, I was sitting here recording this podcast, and I heard somebody outside screaming and yelling and cussing each other out. I looked out my window and saw a man who was yelling at a woman and was grabbing her violently. Without even thinking, I jumped up, ran outside, and stepped in between the two. Now, I know this guy probably could have beat me down. I mean, he was definitely drunk and probably on drugs by some of the things he was saying. He was a kind of big guy. You could tell he was scrappy, ready to go and fight. But something told me to stand there and be firm. And instead of trying to be tough and fight him, although let's be honest, I probably could have taken him. Just kidding. But instead of trying to prove that and to prove my manliness, I just tried to talk him down. I made sure he understood that I love him and I just want to help. And after about 15 minutes of standing there talking with him, he was giving me a hug and trying to figure out what was so different with me that he would be drawn to me. You know what it was? I had nothing to prove. I just wanted to love him. I wanted to de-escalate the problem, make sure the woman was safe, and then make sure this man had an opportunity to relax, take a deep breath, and see what God was doing. And then when I told him I'm a pastor and that I love him, he completely changed. His entire disposition was relaxed. In fact, by the end of it, we were laughing and talking, and I even offered to buy him an Uber to get home. And as we parted ways, he said, "I'm so grateful that you were in my life tonight." How, what a crazy story. I could have never imagined that some man outside drunk and obnoxiously cussing out a woman would be the person that I would be hugging and talking about how grateful we are to be in each other's life in that moment. And so, as Brent walked away and was calmed down and relaxed, I was able to go home knowing that God just showed him love through me. Friends, we have to be able to do that with everyone around us. We are called to live such good lives that it draws people to our Heavenly Father. What a beautiful opportunity that we have. No matter what your context is, no matter what it is like to have people around you, you have an opportunity today to love people in such a way that they see your Heavenly Father and are drawn to Him. It's not even about you. It's not about how you feel or other people view you. It's about how well can you show others the love of a living God whose entire message is that He loves you profoundly. So my prayer for you today is that you would live a life of love, that you would be able to show respect and honor and submission towards everyone around you, that they would be lifted high and closer to your Heavenly Father. And if that means I have to be humbled so low that I would be willing to put my neck on the line for someone else, it's worth it. Because at the end of the day, you don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do with the moments you have with other people. My prayer is that Brent understands God's love, that he walked away from that conversation rethinking his own way of life. He said to me, "I feel like I've seen you before because I've been trying to get my life right." I said, "Have you ever been to Calvary Church?" He said, "No, I've actually never been to church." But he kept saying he feels like he recognizes me. You know what the truth is? He didn't recognize me. He recognized the true source of life that I was showing and representing. It was the light of Christ that he recognized. You see, all people are drawn towards Christ. They just don't know it yet. And so they're rebelling and rejecting him without even knowing it. But the Holy Spirit is constantly drawing all people towards God. And when we represent Christ well, they don't see us. They see Christ in us. And they can't help but be drawn to him. So may God put someone in your path today that you would love so well that they would say, I feel like I've seen you. Yet they wouldn't be talking to you. They'd be talking to your Heavenly Father. And that's exactly what he was talking about yesterday in chapter 2, verse 12, when he said, live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So may you represent God, and may you do it well as you love those around you. That's all the time we have left for today. I love you, and God bless. We'll be right back.